Would you stand together with me? We're going to turn very quickly in the Word of the Lord, and I am going to do my best not to keep you very long. And for that, everyone should say amen.
Amen.
Ah, you're excited now. Praise God. Matthew chapter number 9, and we're just going to read two quick verses and share a few thoughts from the Word of the Lord tonight. Matthew 9, 37, 38. Of course, this is referring to Jesus Christ. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, it is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm going to use as a subject something that even outside the church in the course of today, you may have seen somewhere. And my subject is simply this: help wanted. I was in a restaurant just this morning, and there was a sign walking in, not only asking for help, but also reminding us that we are short-staffed, so please be kind to the ones that showed up. And I said amen, and I tip really good now because I know that those that are showing up and responding to that call, help wanted, they deserve a little extra help. But the kingdom of God is no different. The kingdom of God is no different. And Jesus asked us not only to pray, but to respond to that simple call of help wanted. Would you pray with me, and let's just ask the Lord to minister here today. I pray, oh God, that you would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. We pray that your will would be done, that you would move, that you would minister as only you are able. Lord God, I'm praying for open hearts and minds and spirits, not only to hear, but that would be transformed into doers of the word. I pray all of these things to be done in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated in the wonderful name of the Lord. As we were coming in and reacquainting ourselves with Brother and Sister Brownie, and can I just say thank you, Sister, Brother Brownie, giving us this opportunity to be with you here in Milwaukee. You could have taken care of the service for without us and had a wonderful time. We are honored that not only you allowed us to come, but to all of you who came out and to be in service here tonight. Thank you so much. It really is a privilege and an honor, and we just thank you for that. But in the course of reacquainting ourselves, Brother Brownie was apologizing somewhat, and he was describing himself as a third string musician. Well, that didn't sound like no third-string musician. But he was apologizing simply because that due to circumstances, not everyone who normally would be here is here. And guess what I've discovered? I've yet to visit the church, Sister Brownie, where a pastor actually looked me in the eye and said, everybody's here today. And I visited hundreds, if not thousands, of churches. And so, Brother Brown, you don't feel bad. It's the same way everywhere around the world. We talked about the last time we were here, we were heading to Senegal. But our ministry in Africa actually began in the late 80s. I have now about 27 years of ministry in Africa, and I have visited and been blessed to visit around 20 different countries, the majority of which are found in West Africa. Wherever I have gone, I have discovered that there are never enough workers. That no matter which church I visited, the pastor would always tell me, if I only had a few more people willing to work, and even in nations. And I could list to you a number of nations where I have visited and ministered that are now nationalized works. That means that the people of that country are governing the apostolic work. They are financing that apostolic work, and they are growing that apostolic work within and using the people of that nation. And even in environments where the work is completely indigenous and nationalized, they will still say, we want a missionary to come and help us. We don't have enough people. It is the same story everywhere you go. Help wanted. There is, of course, a harvest at stake. And may it never be that a ripe and ready harvest would be lost simply because there was no one willing to work. Now, this may bring a smile to your face, and it is intended to do so to everyone's face but my wife's. We lost a harvest, not a spiritual harvest, but we were living and pastoring in my home area of Canada, and while there on the property where we lived, I had planted a garden. And at the bottom of that garden, I had put in a number of rows of wonderful sweet corn. And my wife watched that grow and began to have an increasing appetite for the day that that sweet corn would be ready. And in fact, being new to the region, she asked, and people were quite willing to give advice as to how to make all of that come to fruition. And one piece of advice that some of the locals gave her was that when the corn begins to develop and those ears of corn are visible, you want to go down and protect them from invasive worms. And there's little worms that'll get in there, and they'll eat that corn before you can. And so what they recommended was mineral oil. And you just put some mineral oil on there and on the silk, and that'll repel the worms away. So my wife went down there as if it was a newborn babe, carefully applying the mineral oil to keep the bugs out. And sure enough, no worms, and the corn continued to grow, and it was just a beautiful thing to look down there on a daily basis and just dream that it won't be long. And we're going to put a big pot on, and we're going to enjoy. One Sunday morning, we got up, looked down, and lo and behold, every one of those corn stalks was laying flat on the ground. And I think every raccoon within 100 miles had received the invitation to the all-you-can-eat buffet in the Sully's garden. And we went down and examined the damage, and literally every kernel of corn was gone. And to this day, my wife is angry whenever she sees a picture of a raccoon. Well, that is a humorous story. However, can I tell you that the harvest that I'm talking about has a little more value than a few cobs of corn, and has a little more consequence involved than seeing it disappear, knowing that we always can do it again. The harvest that we are talking about tonight, once it is gone forever. A soul will live forever somewhere. You don't get a second chance when a soul is lost eternally. We must work while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. And so Jesus is calling us to respond to this little simple request: help wanted. Jesus spoke in John 4:35, and he said, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There is a reason why Jesus chose that particular language, and that was because for the Jewish mind, they understood that the beginning of harvest was a date fixed in the Old Testament law. It was the 16th day of the month called Nisan, which is April. And they understood that there is a prohibition upon the people of God. Even if the harvest is ready, you can't go in and get it. You have to wait until the specific moment. And I'm sure there were times that the season was such that the harvest was lost. Because the law said it didn't matter if it's ready or not. You just can't go and get it. I wonder sometimes, even though we do not follow such a Jewish law, that spirit cannot invade our churches. That we end up with a mentality that says there's only certain seasons that we can harvest in. There's only a Sunday where we can have people get the Holy Ghost, that unless the right preacher shows up in town, that we really can't have a move of God, that unless he has the right name or the right pedigree or the right title of apostle or prophet, unless that guy happens to fill the pulpit, then we can't have revival. Can I just tell you that revival can happen anytime? Revival can happen anywhere. It doesn't need to be a Sunday, and it doesn't have to be at Rehoboth. It can happen at Target. It can happen at Walmart. It can happen in the supermarket. It can happen in your school. It can happen while you're walking down the street. If we would just go and see that there is an abundant harvest all around us. It's always harvest time. And if we believe that it is harvest time, then we must confess that God needs laborers. As you look at the cycle of harvest, you would understand that when it is time to plant, you just don't necessarily need a big crowd. That when it's time to weed, you don't necessarily need the big crowd. But when the harvest comes ready, that is when we need all hands on deck. It's not time to take a day off. It's not time to call in sick. We need everybody. And I believe we are living in that day. And looking at the multitude, that is when Jesus requested that his disciples would pray. But I believe that as much as we pray, our prayer is equally a call to action. I hope you understand what I'm going to say, and I will explain it. But some prayers, we participate in their accomplishment. I know that sometimes when you pray, you need to pray big enough that only God can come through on this one. But I also recognize that there are prayers we pray that we have an obligation to act. I'll give you an example. Jesus, in teaching his disciples, and that would include all of us, when he taught us how to pray, in the midst of the words, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Anybody ever prayed a prayer like that? It may not always sound the same, but we pray that way. We look to the Lord to provide. But is there anyone here at the sound of my voice who would believe that in praying that prayer, that gives you the right to put your pajamas back on, to crawl back in bed every day, and just believe? Well, I prayed the prayer, so there's going to be groceries on the back porch. I think most of us understand that as much as I pray, God, provide my daily bread, I also have a personal responsibility that I need to get up in the morning. And if God has been good enough to me, I can get dressed and I can go off to work and I can put in the 8 hours, or I can do my shift, or I can do whatever it is that I found to do. And at the end of the week, at the end of the month, whenever it happens, I get a check in my hand and I rejoice. And the first thing I do is I pay my tithes. Well, I'm glad y'all amen me. And I thank God and I rejoice, because in that process, God has provided. But I also participated. And so, you cannot pray the Lord to send laborers into the harvest field and then you refuse to witness. You refuse to evangelize. You refuse to teach a Bible study. You refuse to lift your voice and make Jesus known to the multitudes. You refuse to give. You refuse to actively participate in the process of ensuring that souls hear the gospel. And all the while, God is crying out, help wanted. I was, again, reacquainting with Pastor Brownie earlier, and we were talking about different things. We've been traveling since the month of January, and as he mentioned, our personal support is completely funded, and so we are only appealing to things like projects that you heard about tonight. But in the course of my travels, I've noticed that there's some interesting things happening in this, our country. I've been to places and talked with church members just like you, and many of them talk to me about in their workplace that they're pulling time and a half, even double hours, because there's just no one working. I've been taken by pastors on numerous occasions to restaurants in their communities. And many of these are not small communities, but we've gone out to eat after, to be met at the door by the owner himself, who is profusely apologizing that well, you can come in, but it's going to take a long time because my wife's in the kitchen and I'm waiting on the table. And that's the only choice we have, either that or close it down. And it's always the same story. We just can't find anyone willing to work. We made a mistake at one point. The place doesn't really matter, but we pulled into a McDonald's thinking that let's get some French fries. And so we went into the drive-thru in the line with other vehicles, and 30 minutes later, decided the fries aren't that good. And so we pulled ourselves out of that lineup, never having even reached where we could order. And as we pulled away, it was very evident the problem. It was right under the golden arches, right there on the kiosk sign, the marquee sign. Help wanted. No problem with the product. No problem with the demand. Just no one willing to work. And what has stunned me, and it everywhere is different, so I do not want to paint a brush of your community, but in some places we have been, we've noticed that some of these places, even McDonald's, offering things like $15 an hour to go in there and flip burgers. Now, can I just tell you, when I was 16, if someone had been offering me $15 an hour, do I have an amen? I'd have been working 80 hours a week and driving me a fine sports car within a couple of months. I didn't get jobs like that when I was a teenager. Nobody hand me no $15 an hour. I remember picking strawberries out in the field, getting about a dime a pint. And if I walked away with $20, $30 at the end of the week, I thought I was a rich man. We've been places, again, we travel all over, and some of them not only $15 an hour, but if you stick around for just a month, they'll give you an iPhone. All these bonuses and all these benefits, and I'm telling you that there's benefit packages floating around that would make some of my African brothers and sisters swim an ocean. And what's compounded with that, and please don't read any politics into what I'm about to say, because I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I'm worse. I'm a Canadian. But a year ago, there was a crazy thing going on here called an election. Some of you may recall. And I remember being an African, hearing some of the things that were being spoken of as election promises. And one of the subjects was that we need here in the United States, and I am a resident, by the way, just not a citizen, but we need here in the United States, we need a $15 minimum wage. And when I heard that, I laughed. Thinking, y'all crazy. That won't work. But here we are. And they're offering it. And still, nobody wants to work. And still, everywhere I go, same sign. Help. Wanted. Can I just be honest with you? That a lot of times, if we're not careful, the spirit that's in the world is going to invade the church. Well, I know it's already here. And the problem in the world is that it's so much easier just to stay in your PJs. Put your feet up all day, watch a Netflix, play your video games, and you still get a check in the mail. Now that's not a problem among anybody here. Because as Bible believers, we understand that the Scripture teaches us certain principles that are countercultural, that don't jive well with some of the people around us. In fact, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said this, and it still is a truth that we need to live out. He said, if a man doesn't work. Now did I make that up? That's what the Word of God says. I still believe it to be true. But do you think that Paul only wrote that for physical reasons? For carnal reasons? No. But we have people that want to come to church and all they want to do is eat. Come on, Pastor, feed me again. Come on, Pastor, I need something else. And Pastor's given milk, and he's given meat, and he's given bread, and he's given it all. But the Bible says if you don't work, and the kingdom of God needs people willing to work. And the Bible says if you're not willing to work, neither should you have the right to eat. Don't come in Sunday after Sunday and Tuesday after Tuesday with an open mouth and a cry saying, I need to be fed, if you are not also willing to work. And so I just have felt to say this in churches I have visited, not every time, but when the Lord directs me, I'm pretty upfront about it. We got too many folk. They're sliding under the cover of COVID. I'll get back, Pastor, once this COVID thing's done. And you know, after that vaccine's worked out, I'll be back. Or maybe in the new year, I'll come and help out. After the holidays, I'll come and help. All the while, help is still wanted in the house of God. There are ministries within the confines of this church. And there's a sign right on the door that says, help wanted. Oh no, I want to eat. I just don't want to work. Sunday school classes with the sign on the door. Help wanted. I want my kids to have a place to go and a teacher, just don't ask me to do it. Around us are neighborhoods without a single witness. And all the while, the Lord himself says, I just need some help. Because folks, angels aren't coming to preach this gospel. God's not rearranging the stars in heaven to spell out Acts 2:38. Why would he do that when he has you? Doors to be knocked. Help wanted. Bible studies to be taught. Help wanted. Nations still without a missionary. Buildings to be built. Books to be printed. Literature to be translated. Churches to be planted. Help wanted. I read in the Old Testament, in not these identical words, but I do read in the Old Testament where God himself hung out the help wanted sign. It's in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, where God says, I sought for a man. Just needed somebody. I had a job. And so I advertised. And I looked around. Can I find somebody? I sought for a man who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I would not destroy it, but I found none. I'm thankful that there was another prophet by the name of Isaiah who saw the splendor of God, his own unworthiness, and said, here am I, Lord, send me. It's harvest time. One commentator said, harvest time is by nature busy time. Therefore, all must be at work. Harvest time is a short time, and harvest work must be done then or not at all. Because once harvest is past, it cannot be recalled. Would you stand together with me tonight in the house of the Lord? Could you lift a hand toward heaven? And I don't know how you can communicate this to Jesus Christ, but could you say, as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. There's help wanted signs in the kingdom of God over empty classrooms, empty pulpits, empty platforms, because we all want to eat, but nobody seemingly is willing to work. Could you lift a voice right now and cry out to Jesus? And could you ask the Lord in his mercy and compassion to use you? Jesus, I love you today. I pray, oh God, I pray your anointing. I pray, oh God, your blessing. I pray, oh God, your spirit to be upon your people tonight. Lord Jesus, I'm asking, oh God, that you would move as only you can in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, help us to see the urgency of the hour. Lord, that you are still looking for laborers, whether it be across an ocean or whether it be as simple as crossing a street, that there are lives that are just waiting for me. We live in a day, and I close, but we live in a day where, for whatever reason, so few feel adequate, up to the task, capable and gifted. But can I tell you, when God receives your resume, when God looks over your CV, when God studies your qualifications, he does not seek your ability. All he looks for is your availability. That one who would simply say, Lord, I can't do much, but here am I. Lord, I don't have a lot of gifts and I don't have a great number of talents, but if you can use me, here I am. And so in the service tonight, if that's your prayer, would you just begin to articulate that in the presence of God? Lord, I don't have much to give. Lord, my education does not surpass that of my peers. Lord, my abilities are so small. Lord, I feel like a third tier or even a fourth tier. Lord, I know that I can't preach like others. I can't teach. I don't have the giftings of others. But if you can use anything, then please use me. Could we just cry out to the Lord in that spirit right now as I invite Pastor Brownie to come? Could we just call out to the Lord right now and say, Lord, here I am, Lord Jesus. I want to give myself to you. Oh, Jesus.
Let's just do that for a minute. Just raise our hands. If Jesus was here right now and he said, follow me, what would we do? Would we say no? Or would we say, here I am? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's really speak to the Lord right now. Let's just take a few minutes. Believe Brother Sully spoke to us tonight. Amen. As I've said before, we have a tendency to look behind us, let the message hit someone else. But as I've said before, all the disciples said, is it I, Lord? Don't look at somebody else and say, oh, that's for them. It's for me. I have to examine, what am I doing? You all know you're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account. What have you done with the blessings God has given you, with the gift that God has given you? What have you done? What are you going to tell them? Well, I came to church. I got fed by the pastor and I went home. What are we going to do? I asked Brother Sully as I was putting the title in. I said, what's the title of your message? And he probably didn't know what I was thinking. But I was just saying, okay, Lord, I know you want to speak to us tonight. Amen. And I'm just so grateful that he responded to the move of the Lord that told him to preach that. But this is the message for the hour. This is the message for the hour. I'm not going to keep you, but I've been looking through the book they've written, and I think this is an awesome book. As a church, we're going to order 20 of them. Okay, Brother Sully? We want to support you. Amen. If you want to teach a Bible study, get one of these books. A soul is worth more than $10 a McDonald's meal. So please get one of these books. We're going to order 20 because I've been looking through it and it's an awesome study that we can use to teach Bible studies. I'm glad that all of you that came out tonight, and I'm going to promote this message on on Facebook. People need to hear there is help wanted. It's free to get in the kingdom, but when in the kingdom, you still have to work. This is in line with what Chris preached Sunday, right? There's a cost. There's a cost. God is speaking to us. Whether you're listening or not, God is speaking to us. You know why? Because he is coming, and it isn't that long. And we're going to have to stand and give an account. We're going to have to be before the Bema seat. We're going to have to give an account of what we did with what God gave us. Some of us are going to say, well, here it is, Lord. I kept it safe. I just dug it up. Here it is, Lord. And I'm not prolonging it, but I can attest to everything he said. My favorite Sunday restaurant. A lot of you have taken to eat there, right? I went in last week. They said, we're closing on Saturdays and Sundays. I said, what? I was thinking, where am I going to eat? They said, yeah, we only have the four ladies and we can't get anyone else. And so now they're not open Saturdays and Sundays. So sorry, I can't take you out anymore. Help wanted. And the scripture he quoted in Ezekiel, God said, I sought for a man or a woman. God is looking to us to respond. When he called the disciples, they didn't say, okay, see you next week. The scripture says, immediately they left their nets. So I'm closing this service, not closing God's spirit. But if you can support in prayer or in giving, Brother and Sister Sully, I encourage you to do it. If nothing else but to buy one of these books, find somebody to make it a present. Give them a Sunday school present. Because God wants us to be occupied when he comes. He wants us to be in his service and to make ourselves available. Hallelujah. What an awesome message. We're going to pray as we close this service for Brother and Sister Sully that God will open doors. He probably wasn't able to say much, but he gave you some hints that some of the countries where they are, you get in trouble for preaching the gospel. We are able to come in here every Sunday, and yet some of us don't want to come. We're not going to be put in prison yet. Yet. There may come a day when, if you can't come when it's free, how are you going to come when you're under threat? I am trying to close, but I know God spoke to us tonight. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you, hallelujah, for your word. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to touch our hearts. Help us to respond to that call of help wanted, Lord, that we will be used in your kingdom. Lord, we ask you to continue the anointing on Brother and Sister Sully, Lord. I pray, hasten their footsteps back to the vineyard, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God. Bless the ministry in Senegal, Lord. Let it be multiplied, Lord God. Give them a harvest, Lord God, of souls. And right here in Milwaukee, oh God, we ask you to touch us, motivate us. Lord, put a zeal in our hearts for your kingdom, Lord. We just thank you tonight for the word. Let it find good soil. Hallelujah. Let it bring up. Let it motivate. Hallelujah. Let it give us, oh God, a new unction, Lord Jesus, to work for your kingdom. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive this word. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.